This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only national golf talk radio and TV program, presented by TaylorMade. Golf has a new game-changing number. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI 10 Max, only from TaylorMade. Visit TaylorMadeGolf.ca to learn more about the QI 10 Carbon Woods. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Well, good morning, Canada, I think. Welcome inside Golf Talk Canada. Adam Scully alongside Mark Sacchino. Bob Weeks joining us at the bottom of the hour. Going to be another busy show this morning on GTC. If you're following us on social media, you knew that I was in Portugal. Just got back yesterday, landed at about 3:30. The jet lag, well, it's certainly real. The caffeine is certainly pumped in right now, and it feels like it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But we're here, we're live. I'm in Canada now. Mark, you're still in Florida?
Yeah, I'm starting 6 weeks in a row, Scully, with Players Championship and the Valspar back to back for radio on the ground, and then the Houston Open and Valero Texas Open for PGA Tour Live. So that's four in a row. Then I'll see you in Augusta for the Masters for a few days with Bob. And then I'll be back with you in studio with you and Lindsay back at the Masters studio in Toronto to cover the Masters. So I'll be five in a row, and then radio for the RBC Heritage. So six events in a row. And now we're full throttle Golf Talk Canada, right? Mondays, Tuesdays TV, Wednesday radio, and of course this is our first week where we're radio to TV this Wednesday. I mean, all things GTC are in full gear, and we've got announcements coming too, right? We've got 20 weeks of TaylorMade announcements coming in the next couple of weeks. We've got lots going on. So yeah, so I'm busy. I do know what day it is and what time zone I'm in though, unlike yourself.
Okay, well, that's a start, and yes, the at 5 o'clock in the morning, I was wide awake. So we are fully caffeinated, ready to rock for another edition here on GTC. Going to be a busy show. We'll have a full recap of our Portugal travel adventure. You'll see it on television. That's going to air after the Masters. About 6 weeks from now, we'll get a defined or an actual date on that, closer to when it comes. TJ Rule from Golf Away Tours will join us. I interviewed TJ as a part of our travel special a couple of days ago. We'll discuss Tiger Woods, who is not in the field at this week's Players Championship. Definitely a surprise with that one. Weeksy going to join us too. We'll have much more as well on the newest TaylorMade golf ball, the Speedsoft and Speedsoft Inc., a different look at a lower price point. You won't want to miss that. And of course, we'll have winners, weird and what. But let's kick things off with some news and some headlines.
News and headlines are brought to you by Sandbagger Hard Seltzer. Sandbagger, everybody knows one.
Well, last week on the show, we had the discussion about Scottie Scheffler's putter. Surprise, surprise, 2 weeks ago on the show, we had a discussion about Scottie Scheffler's putter. 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, every single week in 2024, we've had a discussion about Scottie Scheffler's putter and when was something going to change. And here we are. He changes the flat stick. He wins by five. Shocked, Mark, or what?
I mean, no. I mean, I'll suggest we've been having this conversation since July, August of last year, to be honest with you. And Bob found out just before we were, you know, going to make our picks last week, he found out that Scottie was going to make a putter change. And now that he's made a putter change, I mean, you have to have him every week. Because tee to green, it is not a fair fight most weeks on the PGA Tour. It's not a fair fight. And now the putting has lined up with his long game. What was he, fourth for the week in strokes gained putting? I think he was first on Sunday. He had 16 one putts in a row. He made 17 putts in a row inside 15 feet. This is what it looks like when he putts well. He wins by five, he wins by three, he wins by seven. This is what it looks like. So, and he doesn't have to lead the field in strokes gained putting. He's just got to putt well. And it wasn't until Sunday until he really put the pedal down with the putter. He putted fine. He putted better for 3 days, and then he putted really well on Sunday and kind of walked away with this. And it was impressive, Adam. And again, I don't know about you, but again, I am puzzled as to why it took so long. Like, I am absolutely puzzled this was common sense.
Yeah, it was total common sense. And whether you're the world's top ranked golfer in the world and you've won a major championship and you're a very successful player, or you play your weekly, gambling game on a Saturday morning, if you try a different putter, sometimes just something different is going to work. Now, in terms of the stroke, did you notice anything different about Scottie Scheffler's stroke? Did it look more aggressive to you? Did it look more passive? Did it look better to you overall? Or do you think it was just the different look that just changed everything for him?
Well, I think I noticed something on the Sunday, to be honest with you. It not only was it a different head, the grip was smaller. He went to a thinner grip to get his hands back in the stroke. He wanted the feel back in the hands, which, to be honest with you, is very old school, Adam. Most guys in today's, PGA Tour, in today's game, when they're struggling with their putter, they go to larger grips, and they go to grips to take the hands out of the putting stroke and to get it into the shoulders. And this was an old school move, right? To go to a thin, firmer grip to get the hands back in it and get some feel back. I kind of like that. I kind of like the thought of that. It's like, hold on a second here. I mean, I don't want to feel robotic. I don't want to feel like I'm a brick, a stone man, a stick man putting here. And the putter was also a half inch longer. So it was a longer putter. And I did notice, at least from the camera angles, I wasn't on the ground at Arnold Palmer. So from the camera angles, I noticed the path of his putter on the way back was far more inside than it was in previous weeks. Now, if it's automatically going to be longer, it's automatically going to want to go a little bit more rounded off on the back. So, so as opposed to, you hear the theories, all great putting coaches and instructors always tell their students most time, you have to decide if you're going to be a straight back, straight through putter, or if you're going to be an open door, closed door putter. You can't be both, right? You got to kind of be one or the other. Most putting instructors will tell you that. And this looked to me, Adam, like a clear decision and a clear dedication to be, I'm just going to be rounded off and I'm going to rotate, and the putting stroke is going to become, for lack of a better term, just a miniature version of my golf swing, as opposed to a manipulation of a straight back, straight through, because straight back, straight through is completely unnatural. It doesn't really exist. There must be a manipulation of the face on the way back. The face must close on the way back, and then it must open on the way through to be straight back, straight through. There's no such thing as a natural straight back, straight through. I saw that on the Sunday. You could really see it from the longer putts, obviously, when the arc was larger. I mean, wow, if this is a window into the next 2-3 months, look out, start racking them up, kids.
I love what you just did there. And I kind of wish we were on TV, because watching you on our Zoom call do that right now, that was fascinating to me. And I think as well, Mark, you wonder if the longer putter slightly would alter Scheffler's eye line at all about how he's looking at the ball, right?
Well, theoretically, right, Adam, unless he makes a major adjustment to get a little bit more weight on his toes or a little bit more forward, if he doesn't make an adjustment in that sense, or a posture adjustment, then the half inch is going to move his eye line a half inch inside the line as well, right? So if all things were equal and he didn't make any adjustment in setup and any adjustment in ball position, and all things are equal, that half inch of the putter, to your point, because you're bang on, he's going to be a half inch inside the line. Now, I love guys who putt it like with the eyes a little inside the line. This theory of you need to be your eyes perfectly over the ball, I call BS on that. Because if you look at a lot of the greatest putters in the history of the game, all of their eyes were just inside the line. In fact, if you were to take a golf ball and put it in between your eyes on your head and then get in your position to putt and then drop the golf ball down to see where your eyes are. A lot of the greatest putters of all time, that golf ball is going to land on the hosel or the heel of the putter. It's not going to land exactly where the ball is. And part of the reason I think that is the case, Skulls, is because if your eyes get to the other side of the line, just fractionally over the line towards the toe of the putter, above the line, I mean, that's a recipe for disaster. So, you know what? Let's take a look at it this week. You know, Bob and I are both going to be on property at the Players. I'm going to be out there for, 7-8 hours a day. This week is a marathon. I'll get some time to actually look at it with my own eyes. I'll keep a look on it. Well, let's see where his eyes are at.
That's great. You know, I'm really looking forward to that deep dive. And we're also going to air a graphic that was just put together this morning for our television show, looking at Scheffler's results this season and where his strokes gained putting were. I also tweeted this out this morning. So if we take a look back at the century, Scheffler finished T5, strokes gained putting. He was 44th that week. Remember, limited field. American Express, he finished T17, strokes gained putting. He was 49th. AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, he finished T6 that week, strokes gained putting. He was 32nd, signature event there. WM Phoenix Open, finished T3, strokes gained putting, 45th. Genesis Invitational, Scheffler finishes T10. He was last in strokes gained putting of all players who made the cut, another signature event. And Arnold Palmer Invitational finishes first, strokes gained putting. Scheffler was fifth. So certainly, Mark, a sign of things to come. And I know you're not surprised about this, but right now, Scheffler, the overwhelming betting favorite heading into the Players' Championship this week, plus 600. For what has been known as the strongest field in golf. That could be another debate in itself, but still plus 600 for Scottie Scheffler. What do you think about those odds?
I think it's an automatic. I mean, now that he's made the putter change, this is what we've all been waiting for. You know me, like last year I had him on my TSN Edge team every week. And the only reason I didn't have him this week is I didn't know there was a putter change coming. Okay. So if I had known there was a putter change coming, moving forward, he's on my team. It's like, so every week now I'm looking for two players for my TSN Edge pick, as long as Scheffler's in the field. I'm looking for two names. He'll be the overwhelming favorite at the Players, and he should be. I'd be absolutely shocked if he didn't have a chance to win come Sunday, you know. And he'll be my overwhelming favorite at Augusta in a couple of weeks. So, I again, look at the ball striking numbers. Anytime you can put yourself in a category with the name Tiger Woods, which is what Scotty did in the last 2 years with his ball striking. The only time we've ever seen strokes gained approach, strokes gained totaled, ball striking strokes gained numbers like this would be Tiger in his prime. So how do you, how do you argue with that? That's just, it's slapping us in the face. So don't turn away from a gift. Your winning's hard and you don't win every week, and you don't win every time you're playing well. But if his putter has turned the corner into, okay, I'm confident now with the changes I've made, and I know I'm going to putt at least decent every week, at least I know I'm not going to put myself behind the eight ball every Thursday and Friday because I can't make a four-footer when I need to. If we've passed that corner, then he will have a chance to win every Sunday.
Well, and heading into this week, Scheffler is the defending champion at the Players' Championship. Of course, he won last year by that same five-shot margin. So Scottie Scheffler, the favorite heading into this week's Players' Championship. When we come back here on GTC, we'll take a look back on our Portugal travel adventure, and we'll hear from TJ Rule from Golf Away Tours. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was presented by TaylorMade and the new QI10 Carbon Woods. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI10 Max, only from TaylorMade. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today.
Welcome back inside GTC. Scully and Zacchino here. Week's coming on in about 10 minutes time. Well, I just got back from Portugal. Yes, I left last Monday evening, flew into Lisbon and played some of the best courses in Portugal. Mark, have you been to Portugal?
I have never been to Portugal. I really wanted to go on this trip. I was upset I couldn't go because I was supposed to go with you guys. But as you can see, there's really isn't many holes in the schedule right now this time of year. If we were doing this trip in the fall, no problem at all. But to squeeze a trip away this time of year that isn't somewhere down here around work is impossible. So I've never been, dying to go. And I'm curious, before we run this interview, Adam, if you had to relate it to something that maybe I might know, our listeners might know, is there any way you can describe the style of golf?
Totally. There were a couple of courses that honestly took me back to Northern Ireland, took me to Cabot on the coastline. Some of the views, I got to tell you, were mesmerizing, were remarkable. And there were a lot of sand dunes, a lot of just total variety of holes. And I would honestly put a lot of it to Cabot or Ireland in terms of playing right on the water, And you'll see that during our Portugal travel special, which will air sometime in late April, very likely April 23rd. We'll have much more on that when we have the announcements going out. But it was really cool. And I didn't have any expectations going into a trip like this. I'd never been to Portugal. I'd flown into Lisbon before, like we did for our Spain travel special 2.5 years ago, which is hard to believe it was that long ago. And to be totally honest, I had to be back here to be back on duty. So I missed the final two courses of the trip, which apparently were amazing too. And it seemed like the weather, it seemed to improve a little bit, because I'm not sure if you saw on social media, there were some breezy days. We actually played in a little bit of hail, Mark. I'm not sure.
I saw the hail and it was coming hard. And I saw literally the flag leaning over, like literally leaning over sideways. I couldn't believe the weather. It was unbelievable. TJ's got to stop doing these trips in the middle of the Florida swing and in the winter. We got to start doing these trips during golf season.
Yeah, no, exactly. And we might be having something coming up a little later in the fall. And I know our listeners, our viewers will be very excited to see the possibilities of that. But in terms of Portugal overall, the food, the wine, the experiences, some of the hotels we got to either tour or stay in were really cool. A couple of the wineries too, Mark, where the wines are actually available in the LCBO. So I don't know about you, but are you a fan of Portuguese wine?
I you know what? I'm not as familiar with them as I am with like my Spanish wines and obviously my Italians and French. I love French wine too. It's just outside my price range. I'm just not willing to drop $900 on a bottle of red wine. That ain't happening for this guy. But I do have friends that they go deep on Portuguese wine and are very, very familiar with it and like it a lot. But it's like anything else, right? I mean, you got to deal with the experts. You got to know where to go, when to go, and that kind of stuff. So I'm sure it's fantastic.
Yeah, certainly fantastic. And have to mention a couple of things about the courses. West Cliffs, which was the last course I played, Cynthia Dye design at that course. And I'll tell you, those green complexes were crazy to say the least. And that day too, winds gusting to, just 80 kilometers an hour. Just a nice breeze on a nice day. Let's just say, Mark, I'm glad I brought a lot of golf balls that day because the ball wasn't exactly on a string for me. The course that was played yesterday, so I flew home yesterday. I had left at 11 a.m. in Portugal, which was, I believe, 7 a.m. here with the clocks changing. So the rest of our group played a course called Royal Obidoche, which was the last course Seve Ballesteros designed before he passed away. And apparently that course was just awesome. So if you're looking to plan your golf trip of a lifetime, where do you go? Well, you go to Golf Away Tours. Now, TJ Rule and Ron Judge, both from Golf Away Tours, were on this trip. They were on the trip back in Spain to as well. So for much more on our trip to Portugal, let's hear my interview now with TJ Rule. Here alongside TJ Rule from Golf Away Tours. TJ, it's been a remarkable trip here in Portugal. But for you, what goes into getting trips like this all together?
Well, you know what? A lot of factors, obviously. The golf is always what we focus on. So we always focus on the best golf courses in Portugal, and there's so many great ones. And of course, right behind us here, we have West Cliffs, which we just played in some weather conditions. It's beautiful right now. And it'd be one of the best golf courses here in Portugal. And so we really focus first and foremost on the golf. But there's more to it than just the golf, right? When you come to Portugal, you come here for the food. You come here for the wine. You come here for the great people who, you know, all speak English and make you feel so comfortable. And so even though the golf's spectacular, there's more to it than just that.
So a couple of years ago, now 2.5 years ago, hard to believe, we went to Spain on a similar trip. But how did you decide on Portugal in particular for this group of people?
It really is an emerging destination, right? And it's a destination that not a lot of people know about in terms of golf. And because of courses like this one, West Cliffs, Comporta, Dunash, which we played a couple days ago, another course opening up at Comporta, really the quality of golf is really rising in Portugal. And so people know Scotland, Ireland, even Spain, but Portugal really is an emerging destination for golf, and we really wanted to show it off to the pros here that we brought this week.
Now, playing here throughout the round so far, we've seen a variety of different kinds of golf, but in your mind, how would you describe the golf so far here in Portugal?
Well, there really is a variety, and that's a great way to describe it. You know, the first round we played was at Troia, and it's a tighter golf course and really demands some shot making. Then we played Comporta Dunash, which is a new golf course, and is it quite a bit wider and more generous, but has some just spectacular holes, 18 great holes, you know, no bad holes out there. And then Praia del Rey here, which was challenging yesterday, right on the coast, West Cliffs today as well. You know, again, challenging golf courses with the weather conditions that you get. But it really is a great variety. A lot of the properties are very sandy, so they are generally fairly dry and run out, but we've had a bit of wet weather this week. But really a great variety. West Cliffs today was just so challenging, but a lot of fun to play.
So booking trips like this, obviously golf is the focal point, but golf's only 4 or 5 hours a day, perhaps if the pace of play is slower. Then there's the rest of the day to fill out. What have been some of your favorite non-golf activities that you've enjoyed this trip that you'd recommend to people coming to Portugal?
Well, really, the food and wine is really a lot of what people come here for. And we've had a couple great wine tours. We're having another one this afternoon. Mm-hmm. And the wine here, the Portuguese are very selfish in some ways in that they don't share their wine because they like to keep it to themselves because it's that good. And we're really experiencing that this week. And the wine has been fantastic. We're staying here at the Marriott this week. It has so much to offer in terms of a spa and a lot of other facilities. When we had a great day in Lisbon a couple days ago, we had great walking tours, we had a tuk-tuk tour around town, and there's so much to see in that city. It's a great walking city, so there really is a lot to see besides the golf.
A lot to see besides the golf, for sure. Now, we're here with a pretty cool group, I would say. How would you describe to our audience the group of guys and gals who are here with us this week?
Well, they're all beauties, aren't they? I mean, you know, we've got 8 golf pros here, PGA Canada pros, and then a couple of media members and myself and Ron from Golf Away Tours. And really, the group has really gelled well together. And they're all just great people and really good players. And they've really enjoyed the golf. And the camaraderie at night has been great, having some drinks afterwards and some nice glasses of wine. And really, we've had just a fantastic week.
Yeah, talking about all our rounds, debriefing them, the good shots, the few bad shots that may or may not happen too. But let's say for someone watching this, for someone listening to this who say, hey, I want to come to Portugal, I want to come to a great destination, how do they contact you? Where do they go from there?
Well, you can find us at golfawaytours.com as always, and there's some information there, obviously, on Portugal and the great courses here. And, you know, just call us up. We love talking about it. We love just talking about our experiences here and what we know and convincing people to come here because it's an awesome destination.
And in terms of planning, because people are traveling again, COVID's behind us, people are traveling. When do you recommend people reach out? Like, is it a year out? Is it 6 months out? That sort of thing?
That's one thing that's really changed through COVID, right? And we've talked about this, you know, on your show before. But before, it might have been maybe 6 or 8 months for a Portuguese trip in advance that you'd book. But now it's more 12 to 18 months. And people are booking a lot earlier and things are booking up a lot quicker. So it's never too early to look. That's what we tell people.
It's golfawaytours.com. Now, TJ, before we wrap, you've done a bunch of these trips. You've traveled all over the world. What's your favorite part of this job?
Well, this. Isn't it hosting people on trips like this and getting to play some unbelievable golf courses and hang out and have some great experiences, wine experiences and so on. I just love seeing new destinations, and I hadn't been to Portugal in a few years, so it was great to get back here and see some of the new product that I haven't seen yet. And, you know, it's just living the dream, buddy.
Well, TJ, thanks for your time, and go check out golfawaytours.com to plan your travel adventure of a lifetime. TJ, thank you.
Thanks, Scully.
Thanks again to TJ Rule for that and setting up the trip. We'll have much more on this because there's a lot more to discuss on our Portugal travel special. We'll do that after Bob joins us in our next segment. When we come back here on GTC, we'll give Weeksy a call because he's on his way to the Players' Championship. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC presented by TaylorMade was brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. Visit WeatherTech.ca.
Hi, GTC. Scully and Zacchino here. Weeks joining us momentarily. I believe Bob was not flying through, or was flying through Toronto. It wasn't flying direct, I think. I could totally be off on that. Again, I was in Portugal for 6 days. My brain's totally jumbled. Bob now joins us online. Bob, are you flying out of Pearson, or did you have to take a connector?
I flew out of Pearson, but we're in Newark right now and awaiting our next flight to Jacksonville.
Okay, that's what I thought. So you and – is it just you and producer Jamie Rydell, who I hope is in shorts?
It is, and he's not. He's actually in long pants, which is a rare occurrence. I might have to take a picture and post that. That's pretty rare for him.
It's a little – okay, please do that. Hopefully everything is okay with one Jamie Rydell. Okay, so let's get to the golf. Scottie Scheffler, a five-shot victory. Your first win – on our TSN Edge leaderboard. And you sent Mark and I a text yesterday when you said you found out Scheffler was using a different kind of putter, so that led you to pick him last week. Just how impressed were you by Scottie Scheffler's performance?
Well, I mean, that's the same kind of putter that I use, and I'm not sure if you two are using that one, but I am in the TaylorMade Spider version, and I just knew that it worked for me, so God, it worked for him. But yeah, I mean, pretty impressive, right? He made everything from inside 15 feet over the weekend, which is just a remarkable putting performance for a guy who looks like he was stick handling it the last couple of times we've seen him, and even getting into that frustrating part where he's throwing golf balls. And so I'm not sure if it was all the putter, but I'm sure the putter and the putty and combine that together. And now you kind of look ahead and you say, boy, if this guy can even putt at an even clip in strokes gained putting, he's going to be really hard to beat.
Bob, that's where I was going, because it's like I'm kind of in that mode now where if we feel the putter is no longer going to damage him, I admit, again, he does not have to be the best putter every week, but if the putter is just going to be part of the game and not in the way of the game, I feel like if he's in the field, then we've got to be looking for two other players each week on our TSN Edge team, because if Scottie Scheffler's in the field and the putter isn't a problem, then how do you not have him on the team? Historically speaking, it's really not a fair fight right now with the ball striking.
Yeah, I mean those ball striking figures are just absolutely ridiculous. And when you consider before this week, you know, he was, I think, number two or number three in strokes gained total. So it's his total is his second or third best with a terrible putter. Just imagine how much it's going to rise up when he does start putting now. And you're right. I don't expect him to putt as well as he did last week every week. But again, he doesn't have to. He only has to putt sort of at an even clip, and he'll be deadly. And so you start looking at what he did last year at the Players' Championship when the putter was working as well for him. And you consider what he's doing now with the ball striking, which might be better than it was last year. And like you said, you know, how do you not pick him? It's just Scottie Scheffler is going to be the free space on the bingo card that everybody takes, and we're all going to plug in two more players.
And this might be the first time I've ever picked Scottie Scheffler on our TSN Edge leaderboard. You guys know me. Sometimes I like to pick some different players, but I really think this is the week I am going to pick Scottie Scheffler as well. In conversation here with Bob Weeks, who's on his way to the Players' Championship. But looking back at last week, Bob, it was another good week for Nick Taylor. The Canadian finishes T12 and of course already has the win this season at the WM Phoenix Open. We had him on our show last week. We all spoke with him in Hawaii. What are your expectations for Nick Taylor for this week at the Players Championship?
Well, I think if you look at what he's been doing this year, I think we focus on that win, but he's had a whole ton of other great finishes. He really hasn't played himself out of any tournament per se. I mean, he's not all been top tens and stuff, but he's really played well, and he's avoiding sort of the one big bad round that used to harbor him. And I think he's just confident right now in what he's doing. I think he's really liking what he's seeing from all parts of his game. You know, the driver's working now, that short game that he's been working on with Gareth Rafalski, we know is very sharp. And when he hits the ball in the fairway, he's pretty deadly. And that's what he's been doing this year. But I think almost more than anything now, it's sort of a sense that, you know what, I belong up here in the top. He's the 25th, his highest ranking in the official world golf rankings, and I know we can go into a debate about that, but still, it obviously shows you that he's playing perhaps the best golf of his career, and I think this is the kind of golf we expected when he was the number one ranked amateur in the world, and with this confidence right now, who knows what he could do. I really would not be shocked to see him win another one this year.
All right, Bob, I'm going to see you tomorrow. We're going to shoot Golf Talk Canada on location at the Players Championship. Looking forward to this week. It's one of the biggest weeks of the year. At 11 a.m., Jay Monahan is going to speak to the media in the press room. We did this last year together. Every year it seems awkward and uncomfortable, and we're all looking for information. Do we get anything at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning that leads us to believe that we might have a deal, anything inside the world of the PGA Tour, or is it going to be just scripted little sound bites that are digestible for the golf community and we leave with nothing after 11 a.m.?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be any breaking news that he's going to deliver to us. I just think that there's sort of a cooling, not an ending, but a cooling in the negotiations between the PIF and the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour. And I think right now more of the focus is going to be on let's get this $1.5 billion from the SSG group. That's the other group that's come in to help fund them. Let's get that out and working for us. And we don't really have to, we're not pressured, but we have to sign a deal with the PIF tomorrow. So I think those negotiations are still going from what I hear. And a couple of sources have said that they're still doing it, but they're not meeting as if there's a deadline at midnight tonight kind of thing. So I think it'll be boilerplate kind of stuff. He'll talk about all the successes they've had. He'll talk about the signature events. He'll talk about the money they've got back in. And I don't really think there's going to be anything that's going to even real reason to mention LIV Golf, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm not going to be shocked. We have a one-on-one interview with him, so we're going to throw him some hard balls and we'll see what comes up. But he's pretty slick when he's in front of a microphone, I got to say that.
I was just going to ask, I didn't know you were doing a one-on-one for TSN, Bob. I was going to ask you in the presser if you could just stand up and give him a hard ball, but never mind. You can do that one-on-one.
We'll do that. We'll throw him right down the middle with a two-seam fastball.
In conversation here with Bob Weeks, talking about the Players Championship, where Weeksy is on his way there. And Bob, your video essay was just unveiled this morning on social media. It will air on SportsCenter later tonight, tomorrow morning. It'll also air on our Golf Talk Canada TV preview show as well. For those who haven't seen it, there's a lot of like background information on the 17th hole, how it was built, which quite frankly, I did not know. So for those who haven't actually watched it yet, what can you tell us about the 17th hole that maybe someone may not know already?
Well, it never started out to be an island or peninsula green, I guess if you want to call it that. The area, the land that they built the golf course on, which they bought, by the way, for a dollar, was swamp land. And it was not really in that great shape for building a golf course like you have today. And they needed a lot of sand to fill in some of these swampy areas. And they found that sand right around where the 17th green was supposed to be. And the workmen just kept digging and digging, and weren't really, no one sort of kept an eye on them and saying, hey, we're going to have a par three here. Maybe we should do something. And by the time they'd taken all the sand out, there was really nothing left except the green. So Alice Dye, who was Pete Dye's wife and a good designer on her own, co-designer of Sawgrass, said, well, why don't we make it an island green? And that's how it came about. It was not on the plans. It was just a mistake that turned into a remarkable golf hole that I think you could argue it might be the most notable or most famous golf hole, certainly from appearances, in championship golf right now. I mean, there's other great holes for sure, the 18th at Pebble and you know, the 12th at Augusta. But this one certainly has its own appearance and its own notoriety for a lot of good reasons. And of course, early in the early days, the players hated the golf hole, but they've come to sort of, I won't say they would like it, but I'll say they accept it.
Hey Bob, where do you like it in the rotation? I mean, I love the way the history of this came about with Alice and the conversation and the whole history. And I remember looking at those photos, and I know you've seen them too, of when this golf course opened back in the early 80s and how rustic it was and, you know, the environmental areas. It actually reminds me a lot of the ocean course at Kiawah Island. You know, the ocean course we play today is a lot kinder, gentler than the one they played at the War by the Shore in the early 90s. And you could say exactly the same thing about the stadium course in Sawgrass, that this is a much more pristine, well-kept, kinder version of the stadium course in the sense that it doesn't have those wild native areas that it used to have, etc. That being said, though, regardless of how much kinder it is compared to where it used to be, that 17th hole is still in a spot where the players every year, it's the same thing. It's like, yeah, it's a great hole. Yeah, we get why the fans love it. But why is it 17? Like, I mean, why isn't it earlier in the round and you've got an opportunity to recuperate from that hole? I'm from the mind, Bob, where I love where it is. I don't want them to recuperate. It's 135 to 145 yards. You're the best in the world. You're trying to win one of the biggest championships in the world. You've got to execute the shot or you might lose. To me, that's the beauty of it. Where do you stand on that?
Usually when I hear that the players don't like where it is in the rotation, I look and say that's probably the main reason why the fans love it in that rotation, where it is. It really does find a perfect spot, I think, and it's, you know, it changes a lot of destiny there. I mean, I think it was Ed Snead who said early on that you know, a guy could come to that hole with a 5-shot lead and still not win. And listen, doesn't matter where it's going to be in the golf course, you got to hit the ball on the green and you got to make your putt and or two putt and get out of there. So I think it's in a perfect spot as far as the championship goes. And I think the other thing that a lot of people overlook, and I know, Mark, I think you and I have had this conversation, is when you step on 18, it's not a heck of a lot easier. It's a different kind of hole, but you've got water all down that left side, and there's a lot of guys who end up in those trees on the right. So it's a really good finishing stretch with the par 5 at 16, the 17th hole, and 18 as well.
And we're going to have that exact same conversation on Golf Talk Canada Television 2 in terms of where the hole sits and how good of a finish it is at TPC Sawgrass. Now, Bob, before we wrap, some hard-hitting journalism for you. When you and Graham DeLeck go to the Masters, you guys have an egg salad sandwich eating contest. When you go to the Players, is there like a hot dog eating contest? You guys do trivia at night. What have you guys mapped out in terms of you and GD going back and forth or some sort of grub-related contest?
Well, I got to tell you, they feed us pretty well at, as Mark knows, at the Players, and it's the smoothies. The smoothies, we're going to see who can get down as many smoothies during the week, and they are really good. I think they're healthy, but I'm not really worried until later when I step on the scale. You know, smoothies, you sort of have this thought that they're going to be healthy, but that's going to be the battle this week. We'll see what happens the rest of it.
This has been Smoothie Talk with Bob Woods. Bob, thanks for your time this morning. Safe travels down to TPC Sawgrass, and we'll see you on Golf Talk Canada Television tomorrow night.
Okay, sounds good. Take care, guys.
Okay, see you tomorrow, Bob.
There's Bob Weeks. Mark, have you had one of these smoothies before?
Yes, they are fantastic, and to Bob's point, the food at the Players is really good. Media Center's fantastic. The tour really treats the media exceptionally well, especially in comparison to some of the other majors in the world of golf. Media here is really treated like they're welcomed, like they're thanked to be there and participating in this championship. So it's a great week. And I've got good news too this week, Adam, which is rare, has been rare anyway, for this championship in recent years. The forecast for the Players' Championship looks absolutely fantastic this week. We're talking high 70s, low 80s Fahrenheit, lots of sun, mix of sun and cloud. I didn't see any rain in the forecast that was substantial. So it looks to me like we're going to have four very good days and a proper Sunday finish. And that's great news for this championship, because moving back to March with this championship from May has not played out the way they necessarily has wanted it to over the last few years. Torrential rains, and then obviously the COVID year and yada yada. I think we're going to have a real great, perfect championship, and weather should not be a factor.
Well, especially it was 2 years ago where you had every layer that you had packed. That's when Cam Smith won, like the final putt happened at about 6:30 p.m. Eastern on Monday night. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And the wind delay and everything that went on that week, that was bonkers.
It was absolutely brutal, and it's not a rarity in March. I mean, I go back into the early 90s. I don't know the year off the top of my head. I'm going to guess it was 94, somewhere between 94 and 96, back when it was in March before they moved it to May. Davis Love III shot one of the best rounds of golf I've ever seen. I think it was a 63. And just horrific, constant rain and just brutal conditions. He beat the field average by a handful of shots that day and just walked away with the championship. Of course, people probably recall the famous approach into 16. He missed the drive left of the car path into the pine straw, but had a lane to the green and actually knocked it to about 15 feet and rolled it in for eagle. I mean, he's doing this in a pouring rain, with rain gloves and rain suit. And just so to get a Players' Championship in March with, you know, proper Florida weather and sunshine, it's going to be fantastic. So the weather on the West Coast was garbage. So I'm glad the Florida swing's giving us a bounce here.
Yeah, especially after the weather in Florida during the early portion of 2024. It was not so good either, so it's nice that it's getting nice and hot and peaking at the right time for the Players' Championship this week. When we come back here on GTC, we'll wrap up Hour 1, and I'll have some more stories from Portugal, including when we went to a Europa League football match, which was quite the experience. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, home to 80 great courses, 60 miles of sandy shores, endless dining and entertainment. Visit PlayGolfMyrtleBeach.com to start planning your golf trip today.
Wrapping up Hour 1 here on Golf Talk Canada, Adam Scully alongside Mark Zucchino. Bob is currently on his way to TPC Sawgrass for the Players' Championship. You'll see Bob on our television preview show that will debut tomorrow night on TSN. Now, Mark, I have to give you one more thought on our Portugal travel adventure, because as you know, and as I mentioned with TJ, golf only takes 4 hours, hopefully not 5 hours, depending on pace of play.
Yeah.
And being there with a number of PGA professionals, pace of play, it's a must. We were playing in 4 hours or less, perhaps a little longer if we were looking for my golf balls. That's another subject in itself. So there's a lot of time in the day to fill, and you want to see parts of the world that you haven't been to before, experience new things. And we went to a Europa League football match. So we watched Benfica, which is the local team in the Lisbon area, take on the Rangers, which is a Scottish team. And just under 50,000 fans were there. Have to give credit to Bayview Golf and Country Club head professional Mark Patterson, who got the tickets. And we were three rows up behind one of the nets. Three rows up. So we were right there. And have you ever been to one of these European soccer or football matches, Mark?
Mrs. Golf Talk Canada and I were in Madrid a couple of years ago, and it was the weekend that Barcelona was in Madrid having, I guess, in Premier Soccer, they call that, I believe, a derby or a derby or something when it's like crosstown rivals play against each other or something along those lines. So this is like the big Spanish rivalry, right? Barcelona-Madrid. We were going to go, but, you know, we couldn't get in the stadium for less than 1,400 euro a ticket. So we decided to take a pass.
Smart.
And we went to a local Spanish bar that had, like, all the football crowd there in the screens and watched it like that. Yeah, it was a little outside our price range. But so to answer your question, almost, Scully, but no.
Well, the next time you go, or if you do go, I would recommend wearing the colors of the home team, because when we were taking the metro or the subway to the game, a lot of us, there were eight of us who went, had just a like generic jackets on, so a lot of them were blue. And blue was the color of the away side, the Rangers. So we got off our subway stop. There was a policeman standing right there, and he said, go to the next stop. It's not safe to come out here. So we presume we were away fans. So let's just say we got off the next stop, and we all stress purchased scarves, toques, it was a little cold, that were red for Benfica. So quite the experience. Feared for my life for a little bit. I'm glad I tipped the scales at about 225 pounds and I'm 6'4". Let's just put it that way. But an experience I will never forget. I'm so glad we did it. And I'll be releasing a post on my own Instagram page. I haven't done that yet, but I'll do that a little later today. It was quite an experience. I can't wait for our entire viewership, listeners, etc., to see our Portugal travel special. When we come back here on GTC, we'll kick off hour two with a preview of the Players' Championship. Want to get Mark's thoughts on Tiger Woods not playing and that finishing stretch at TPC Sawgrass. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, the golf capital of the world. Thank you for listening to hour one of GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit golftalkcanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television, weekly on the TSN Television Network. This is Hour 2 of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. Why Picton Mahoney? Visit PictonMahoney.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Golf Talk Canada rolls on with hour two, the back nine here on GTC. Adam Scully alongside Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks making his way to TPC Sawgrass for the Players' Championship. It's been known as the strongest field in golf for quite some time, and that's another debate in itself now given the overall status of the golf world. But let's have a preview of the Players' Championship. Again, we'll have a preview of the Players coming tomorrow evening on TSN as well, radio to TV simulcast, Wednesday from 10 a.m. to noon, and then throughout the day on Wednesday on TSN Television 2. Now, a lot of the top-ranked players in the world are in the field, Mark, but someone who we thought would be there but is not going to be there is Tiger Woods. Now, of course, Tiger pulled out of the Genesis Invitational 6 holes into his second round with an illness, but did play in the Seminole Pro Member. All signs point to him playing well. I know it's in a card, but he still played good golf. When you didn't see Tiger's name on the list of players playing this week, what were your thoughts?
I was very surprised, Adam. I was surprised for many reasons. One, he played at Seminole. If he didn't play Seminole, and I know, like you said, he rode around the cart for a day and whatnot, but if you weren't physically feeling up to playing the Players' Championship, then, you know, what are you even doing at Seminole in a one-dayer if the importance for you is to play a PGA Tour event once a month? So now I'm very confused as to why you're not playing, because I'm confused, you know, how you're feeling physically. You know, when he withdrew from LA and cited that it was flu related, which I'm sure it was, he got on the intravenous, etc. At that time, he was a hard time getting in and out of the cart as well. He did not look good top to bottom. So a lot of us were like, oh boy, here we go again, kind of thing. He just was named vice chairman of the new board for PGA Tour Enterprises late last week. He's taking a significant role in the future of the PGA Tour and how it will look and how it will operate alongside, you know, what we think will be an eventual deal with the PIF, maybe, you know, as far as we know. But regardless of this new PGA Tour Enterprises, he's going to be vice chair. I mean, this is a huge step. So for him not to play the flagship event of the PGA Tour and not be here is so confusing to me, for lack of a better term. I find it confusing. And I'm not willing to just say it's physical, because if it was physical, why was he at Seminole? That's kind of where I'm at. Where are you on this?
I'm the exact same. I was fully expecting him to play. I'm shocked, quite frankly, that he's not there. The off-course reason that you mentioned, also really good reasons. This is a big week for the PGA Tour. Huge week for the PGA Tour in terms of ratings, in terms of having stars out there all together. I'm sure players will be speaking at length about what's going on off the golf course, as they have been doing. But everyone is all together. You mentioned Commissioner Jay Monahan speaking to the media as well. That'll be must-see viewing. And Bob is speaking with Jay, I believe it's later this week too. And Bob will ask him some questions as well. I was surprised. I really was. And Tiger looked like Tiger thought we would look. I think just from a golf perspective in that first round, I thought the ball speeds were a little up. The swing looked good, aside from the hosel rocket on the 18th hole. Still almost made par in that hole, which, as someone who has hit a fair share of shanks, including in the last couple of days, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, it's hard to, you know, follow up from a shank. But, yeah, it's strange, because I've never been to TPC Sawgrass, but it's a fairly flat walk. Mark, is that right?
Oh, this has got to be, you know, one of the easiest walks on the PGA Tour, right? The flattest golf courses on the PGA Tour, TPC Sawgrass, TPC, like Zurich, I forget the name of it, the Zurich Classic of New Orleans, ridiculously flat. Detroit, Detroit Golf Club, Rocket Mortgage Classic. These are, you know, Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. These are golf courses that literally have, you know, 2 to 4 feet of elevation. I mean, it's ridiculously flat. So this is one of the easiest walks in golf. The temperatures in the forecast are warm and they're good for sore backs. Important to the PGA Tour. It doesn't favor a style of golf in any means. You don't have to hammer driver and lean on that all week like you do at a Torrey Pines. This makes zero sense. Absolute zero sense. If I had said to you, all right, Adam, you know, he probably looked at the forecast and they're calling for highs of 58 Fahrenheit. They're calling for days of rain. This is a hilly venue. This is a place where if you're not leaning on driver at full throttle all day, you're going to be in trouble. I'm like, okay, maybe this doesn't make sense for Tiger. And you know what the most shocking thing of all is? I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. Because we're still, you know, obviously 4 weeks away. But that's the kind of forecast you can get in Augusta in early April. Okay, so we've got one of the surprisingly most hilly golf courses on the PGA Tour. I say surprisingly because TV doesn't necessarily show the elevation changes of Augusta. If people see it with their own eyes, they're like, this is a tough walk. Augusta is a tough walk. It can be cold. It can be damp. You're going to have to lean on your driver. They keep adding yardages to that golf. But we know he's going to be in Augusta regardless. So, again, this makes no sense to me. This, out of all the tournaments that he should play before Augusta, it was this one more than any of them.
And that's what he talked all about at before the Hero World Challenge in December and leading into the Genesis, was how he's pretty much pain-free in that ankle and how he needs competitive reps. And we know that. And we saw in that first round, he had some chips that, quite frankly, sucked. They just weren't very good, right? And that's something where he would automatically get them up and down. It's just more competitive reps. And we know, apparently, he played well at Seminole, too. But, yeah, I wonder, Mark, is he trying to save everything he has for the Masters? Well, it's been 5 years since he won.
I was going to ask you, in your mind, if you were to lay a bet, knowing what we know, in your mind, do you think he has taken a physical step backwards in the wrong direction, or the game is not where he wants it to be and he doesn't want to bring it out on this type of stage where he doesn't think it's ready for prime time? Or is it a combination of both of those things?
I would say it's probably the game. I could totally be wrong. He spoke about having back spasms at the end of that first round. I've never tried to play with back spasms. I've had back spasms. They're incredibly uncomfortable. It's sometimes hard to move. You totally lock up. I don't have to tell you about that, Mark, because you've had that forever as well. But, I mean, hopefully, quote-unquote, it's from a game perspective. Would I love to see Tiger play next week at Valspar? Absolutely. You know, we remember back in 2018, he had a run at Valspar, almost won the whole thing that year, came up one shot short of a playoff, which Paul Casey went on to win. But yeah, it's surprising. I'm hoping he's trying to ramp up for the Masters. And you mentioned the temperature too. Last year at the Masters, it was freezing. There was the rain. The final group had to play 30 holes on that Sunday. Tiger was in about 12 layers, hobbling off that 17th hole that Saturday afternoon, and he just looked so uncomfortable. So hopefully we see Tiger back. Hopefully, right?
If he plays next week at Valspar, I will smash my head against the wall. It will make no... If there's one golf tournament on the Florida swing that he should avoid like the plague, it's Valspar. It's the only golf course on the Florida swing that looks like North Carolina. It is up and down and around. It is a difficult walk. It is the only golf course on the Florida swing that has any elevation changes whatsoever. The rough will be super thick. Can he win there? Of course, when he's got his game and when he was in his prime, he can win anywhere. But I mean, I'm under the impression that, you know, a lot of things have to line up for him to be able to physically play once a month. Well, that's the Players. It was either the Arnold Palmer or the Players because of the history he's had at the Arnold Palmer. And I kind of felt like it wasn't going to be the Arnold Palmer because that golf course has changed so much over the years compared to the course he used to dominate. And it is such a brutal setup right now. So hard at the Arnold Palmer. Like, you know, remove Scottie Scheffler from last week, and that is a major look. You know, someone wins that tournament by one at 10 under with one person in double digits. You know, Scheffler just had it to another level. This is the week, Adam. This is the week. It's three woods. It's two irons. It's try to make some putts. Super easy walk, 80 degrees and sunny. If he shows up next week, I will have actually more concern. Because if he shows up next week and plays at Valspar, knowing what we know, putting all logic aside, I will be worried that there's something going on in the current state of the professional game where none of us really know what's going on, and there's a monster disruptor in the universe. I would be concerned that there's something going on behind the scenes that we don't know about, that might be a bigger problem than any of us realize or think, because it makes no sense for him to play next week. And I truly believe the next time we see him now will be Augusta. And hopefully we get a hot, warm, early spring Augusta National, hopefully.
And we all remember 5 years ago when he won the Masters, his 15th career major championship. It was hot all week that week at the Masters, and he went on to win. What a magical moment that was. Okay, before we go to break, I have to ask you, Mark, about that finishing stretch at TPC Sawgrass. You spoke a little bit about this with Bob asking your question, but in terms of where the 17th hole sits, between 16, the par 5, between 18, the challenging par 4 with water all along the left, where do you like how 17 sits, the Island Green, right now?
I love it. I'm with Bob. I think, you know, the Players' Championship, although it is the Players' Championship, and, you know, it is kind of like homecoming for the PGA Tour in a sense. When Dean Beaman and Pete Dye designed this golf course, it was designed for theater. It was stadium golf, the concept of stadium golf for the first time ever. So it was designed for live spectators. It was designed for television. It was designed in a way to kind of create a golf event that looked a little bit more like other sports look, football and hockey, where you put it in an arena, you put it in a stadium. And this finish is kind of all encompassing of that vision, right? I mean, it's volatility. You don't know who's going to win until they get through those final three holes. You can have 2 3-shot swings. To me, it is the best finish in professional golf without question. I don't think there's anything close. I really don't. Pebble Beach is beautiful. Don't get me wrong. I love Pebble Beach. It's beautiful, but it does not touch this finish. The last five holes at Carnoustie are awesome, but you need Mother Nature to cooperate. When you saw it the last time we were there when Molinari won, it was not the finish that we had in previous years because the wind flipped and the sun was out. If the wind flips and the sun's out in Scotland, all of a sudden those holes become, it's not the same thing. This finish here is consistently, we know what we're going to get. We know the drama we're going to get. We know what the tournament, we know what Pete Dye is asking of the professional. And he either answers the bell or he does not. And I think it's brilliant TV. I think it is must watch, must see, as they say.
And especially when they move the pin around too, that traditional Sunday tucked right pin location. We all remember Cam Smith when he won a couple of years ago, that approach shot into that hole. When Ricky Fowler won the Players' Championship, birdieing 17 a number of times, and those who haven't done as well. I know Sergio Garcia won this tournament, but when he put a bunch of balls in the water as well, it happens to everyone. We see shanks. We see all kinds of different shots on this hole. The volatility is awesome, and I can't wait for our viewers to see Bob's essay on the 17th hole, too, because the background information on this hole, it's pretty cool. It's pretty eye-opening. So Players' Championship going on this week. We'll have a little more on this a little later in the show and a full preview both on TV and radio to TV a little later this week too. When we come back here on GTC, last week we aired our TaylorMade product special. Since then, another golf ball has been released. We'll tell you all about it next.
This segment of GTC was presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. To learn more about their award-winning golf course and growing community, visit CobbleBeach.com today.
Welcome back inside GTC. Scully and Zacchino here. Well, last week we aired our TaylorMade product special, spoke at length about the new TaylorMade TP5 and 5X golf ball. But if you're looking for a golf ball at a little lower price point that looks a little different as well, enter SpeedSoft and SpeedSoft Inked. For much more on this, let's hear from TaylorMade's Mike Fox.
Speedsoft. Why don't you tell us a little about Speedsoft?
Our job at TaylorMade isn't just to make the best performing products for the best players in the world. It's that, but it's also making the best product for all golfers out there, regardless of price point. And as much as we'd love for every golfer out there to play TP5 and 5X, we just know that's not the case. So for us, this is the most work we've ever put into a golf ball in what we call the value performance category. And it's not the cheapest golf ball out there, but it's a couple rings up. It's golfers that still want performance, that just they're not going to spend $50 on a dozen golf balls. And this is where Speedsoft comes in. Speedsoft is our first sub-50 compression golf ball, easy to compress for all golfers out there, but the max USGA limit for initial velocity, as fast as we can make it off the club face legally. So from a performance standpoint, it's truly different than we've had before. Extra large, really special power core that we've used, which is a new material and a new core size for us. But what I think really is going to get most golfers' attention is Speedsoft is not just going to come in white and yellow like it has in the past, but also in a new ink design. And ink for us is truly unique. We're the leaders in visual technology out there. We now have core competencies in printing and putting visual enhancements on product, golf balls more than anyone else out there. And what's really funny is we've only done it in what we would call the premium tour caliber price points. But when you think about visual tech or even color golf balls and where it started at these core price points, at these lower kind of not entry level, but these value performance price points where golfers were using more colored product than the premium level. And when you see trends, you normally see trends move, you know, from premium down. But this is a case where trends moved up. Colored golf balls were popular in core price points forever, and now we see them in tour products. So being able to bring a visual technology like Speedsoft Ink into a core price point like Speedsoft, we couldn't be more excited. So what you have with Speedsoft Ink is truly a unique pattern all over the golf ball. It's going to be easy to identify for golfers that want to know which product's theirs right away, but then easier to see with these high-vis neon inks. It's really incredibly looking, but just a very special product, particularly at this core price point.
And to your point, too, if you're playing in your average, you know, Saturday foursome, you're going to know which golf ball is yours right out of the gate if you're using the Speedsoft ink. In terms of the design itself, because it is a unique looking golf ball, when you look at it, it is definitely different than what we've seen before. How did you decide on the design that Speedsoft ink has?
I'd love to say it was the first one. It just looked great. It was hundreds and hundreds of designs. We had a better part of 10 different designers working on it, pitching concept after concept after concept, narrowing it down from 1,000 designs to 100 designs to 10 designs. And what happens is every time you narrow it down, you don't go from 1,000 to 100. You go from 1,000 to 100. You're like, okay, we kind of like these. Then you end up with 300 because you ask everyone to kind of expand on those. Then you go from 300 down to maybe 50. And then you get those 50 and then you expand it back out to a couple hundred. So it's just this process, continuing narrowing down until you get to a couple dozen that you want to start making samples of, and then you get to a few and then you continue to expand. I'd say the onus of this one was, not sure what you call them in Canada, but we had Jawbreakers, which was like a candy growing up. Yep. And you know, you'd work forever to, you know, like, which is gross as it sounds now, like licking a Jawbreaker for like 2 weeks. I can't even imagine like eating the same food for that long and throwing it in a Ziploc bag. But a little bit of that feeling, like if you cracked a Jawbreaker open with a hammer and this kind of splatter look that would be provided is kind of, I guess, where the initial onus was. But then we expanded on it to just give it a little bit more visibility and kind of just aggressiveness to it. So again, once this comes out, Google it, take a look at it. You'll see it in store. It's one of those things that when you see it, you got to pick it up, then you really want to try it. And once you try it, it's something you're never going to want to go back.
It's certainly a great looking product. And when you look at, you know, the entire line, you got Pick, Stripe, Ink, My Symbol, and the TP5, 5X. Do I have this correct that in 2024, more balls will be produced with visual tech than without?
Yeah, from TaylorMade Golf. I mean, we're one of the largest, or actually, if not the largest golf ball supplier in Canada, one of the top brands in the world for manufacturing golf balls. We make tens of millions of golf balls a year, and we'll produce more golf balls with a visual technology on it than we will standard white product. This is the first time in our company's history this happened, and I feel pretty safe to say any company out there. And we don't do this just because we can, but it's what the market's looking for. So being able, if we can create products that aren't just better performing, but also can use visual attack to enhance that performance and then create emotion in the category as well. It's, I mean, again, we're going to change the way the golf ball landscape looks, and the things we're doing with product performance and visual tech is going to be at the forefront of that.
It's such a cool golf ball story in 2024 all around from TaylorMade. Mike, thanks for your time today.
Scully, thank you so much. Have a great one.
Isn't that crazy, Mark? The stat Mike was reading there about more produced golf balls that are colored or logoed than not by TaylorMade in 2024?
You know, I found that completely shocking. You know, that leaped out at me. And now I'm, since he said that, I'm starting to think about it. And you think about where the growth of the game has come from in the last 5 to 6 years in North America. Top golf, indoor golf, female, junior level. And you start thinking of all the new players to the game that have come through those channels. And then it starts to make sense. Colorful, flashy, fun. It's golf's different for the new players that have come into the game the last 5, 6, 7 years than the traditional growth lanes from, you know, decades ago, where, you know, golf ball must be white and a collar must be stiff and pants must be worn at all times. This is a different world, a different new golfer, and certainly a different sport than it was several years ago. So I think that speaks to that. It's fun. It's cool. It's different. And the proof's in the pudding. They're making more of those than they are basic white golf balls for you and I, buddy. So...
Yeah, you're right about that. As Mike has said many times, white balls used to be white, round, and on the ground, and now they are evolving, and evolving in a big way. For all things TaylorMade, go check out TaylorMadeGolf.ca for all of TaylorMade's products in 2024. When we come back here on GTC, it's our favorite time of the show. It's Winners, Weird, and What, and it's coming up next.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cadillac and the all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. From Lyric to the first ever Escalade IQ, there will be a Cadillac EV icon for you.
Welcome back inside Golf Talk Canada. Adam Scully alongside Mark Sacchino. Well, no shortage of wild moments on the social medias, of crazy moments on the golf course too. And that's where we get to Winners, Weird, and What. This week, Mark, you have the tee.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
All right, Adam, my winner this week, although Rory is going to make another appearance in Winners, Weird, and What, and although he did not have the week that maybe he was anticipating or some were anticipating at Bay Hill, for one moment in time, he is my winner, because sometimes Rory just does things and your jaw just drops. The 10th hole Saturday. No one has ever driven the 10th hole, driven the green in Bay Hill Arnold Palmer history. It is a 400-yard par 4 dogleg left to right. It is 365 carry as the crow flies. I've seen players hit it over walls before. I've seen someone take it over a house or a backyard, but I have never seen a human being take it over a neighborhood. And Rory McIlroy's line, and we're going to show this on TV this week, Rory McIlroy's line on 10 was not over a house. It was over a neighborhood. 365 carry, lands it on the green, two putts for birdie. I mean, it's just another gear, Adam. It's insane.
It really is insane. And to see the recoil he had too, and for those who I speak, you know, to casual sports fans or people you run into, and the question comes, who is the most impressive player you see in person hit a golf ball? It has to be Rory McIlroy, because he's not that big. He's not a tall guy at all. He's muscular, obviously, but he's not a big dude. But boy, oh boy, he just obliterates it. He sure did on that tee shot in particular.
Absolutely just mind-boggling how that frame creates that much energy. Insane. Okay, my weird this week, I got to go back a week because we didn't really get a chance to talk about this. I was working the Cognizant Classic, you were off in Portugal. So I wanted to talk to you about this because you know how frustrated I am with the USGA and R&A when it comes to this ridiculous ball rollback. They could have taken an approach that was similar to the driver rule back in 07-08 with freezing the golf ball as opposed to, you know, trying to dial it back and turning the clocks back 20, 30 years. So I ask you a question, Adam. If the professional game is too long and everybody is hitting the golf ball way too far and golf is becoming too easy for the professional game, then why at PGA National, one of the hardest setups of the year on the PGA Tour, did we turn the par four tenth into a par five? And why did we eliminate the back tee deck at the 17th hole at the end of the bear trap? They wrapped around the grandstands now, completely enclosing that tee. They no longer use the back tee. They can't play that hole at 17 now anymore at 215, 217. It now plays, you know, 170, 150, 180. So they've taken out the back tee, and they've converted the professional par four back to a members par five for what used to be the Honda, now the Cognizant. Adding, by the way, that hole averaged just over 4.04 for the week. So it was an automatic birdie, four shots under par to the winning total, basically, or better that week. So if we have a distance problem, Adam, why are we turning par fours into par fives, and why are we eliminating the back tee decks of par threes on the PGA Tour?
Well, we're not on TV right now, but my eyes rolled to the back of my cranium there. That makes no sense.
It makes no sense at all, right? And once again, this is the large contradictory. And I should add that the PGA Tour was not saying there was a distance problem. The PGA Tour was the one that collected the data for the USGA and the R&A. They interpreted that data themselves as well before they handed it off to the governing bodies. As far as the PGA Tour is concerned, there isn't a problem. They think it's a 3% gain over the last 15 plus years and that there really isn't a problem and it hasn't affected scoring at all. But why the USGA and the R&A would completely ignore those findings, I have no idea. And finally, my what this week. What is going on with Rory? What's happening behind the scenes that we're unaware of? There are crazy rumors out there about Rory McIlroy right now that I don't want to really get into and get too deep because they are strictly rumors. And although multiple sources are talking about them, I mean, there is no proof at all to any of these findings or potential rumors. But one thing is for certain, we can talk about his own comments. And this week he spoke to the media and he was quoted as saying, "I'm all for less tour cards, 100 players or less, and more of a cutthroat PGA Tour." And I'm like, this is bizarre. This is the guy that for several years was championing large fields and your ability to play in and out and the, you know, the real purity of what is the PGA Tour and what separates itself, or one of the things that separates itself from the exhibition series, roller derby. This feels like he's pulling it back the other way. I know that the board at the PGA Tour level is fighting about this right now and what a deal with LIV means, and they're not on the same page on the policy board right now, which is a big problem for this game. But these comments, Adam, are head-scratching.
There's a lot of different comments happening from Rory McIlroy right now than there was 1 year ago, and I'm not sure what his next step is. But whenever he's by a microphone, I know he's speaking to the media Wednesday, I believe I've seen, to preview the Players Championship. When he speaks to the media, I am going to be on the edge of my seat if he says anything one way or the other, because someone's going to ask him about this, because clearly something's changed in his mind, and he's not on the board anymore, like you said. And he's seen many of his peers, John Rahm, the big one, going over to live for a kajillion dollars. And who knows what the next step is, but I know I'm going to be fascinated regardless.
Bizarre, bizarre stuff. Okay, Skulls, that does it for me. The tea is now yours.
348. Oh, man, that is sweet.
Also, one more note on Rory. How about the when he missed a putt on Sunday, he was on the fringe off the green. Not sure if you saw this, Mark. And he left the putt way short, and he took a pretty good divot with the putter. Like, clearly there's frustration happening. We've seen Rory break clubs before and do this, but to make a noticeable divot on a green or just off a green, that's not a good look, man.
I don't think he's in a good place right now. I did see it. I think there are things happening off the golf course that we're unaware of right now. I've heard bizarre rumors from multiple sources. And I will say this. I do believe, and I said this to you and Bob 2 weeks ago, I do believe that Rory is dealing with some emotional baggage about feeling like the PGA Tour turn their back on him. I do think he is going through that right now, that Rory feels like he was the face, the champion of this cause, and it was for no reason, just to have people, you know, go the other way. So I do think there's something to that. We're in a wait and see. We are in a wait and see. So
it's crazy. Okay. My winner this week, on a much lighter note, is Canadian Savannah Grual, who finished T4 on the LPGA this past weekend in her second career LPGA Tour start. We've spoken at length about Brooke Henderson's great start to the season. This is awesome to see, Mark. And when we've spoken with people at Golf Canada, Lawrence Applebaum, etc., they've talked about some high ambitions for having a number of tour players both on the PGA Tour and LPGA Tour in the next couple of years, 3 to 5 years to be specific. This is awesome to see another Canadian on the LPGA Tour with a top finish.
Well, you know what's kind of interesting, Adam, is that we talk a lot about the Mike Weir effect on the PGA Tour and why we had, you know, all these winners last year, 7 or 8 cards, guys challenging in majors, Nick Taylor's highlight of the century for Canadian golf. It took 10 to 15 years for the Mike Weir effect from 2003 to start to take shape, right? And 20 years for it to kind of peak where we're at now in this amazing era of Canadian golf. So maybe now, because we've all been waiting for it, when is the Brooke Henderson effect going to take shape? Because we knew it was happening. We knew it was coming. But how long before all the girls that have watched Brooke over the last, you know, 7, 8 years, whatever, how long before those young girls who were inspired by Brooke all of a sudden started popping up on LPGA Tour leaderboards? Maybe this is the first. Maybe we'll look back at this particular weekend and go, that was the first sign of proof to the Brooke Henderson effect.
What I know is that when that does happen, we will play that clip again once we see another winner on the LPGA Tour from a Canadian perspective. Okay. My weird this week, Anthony Kim, who's now played a couple of weeks on the LIV Tour, played a nice final round this past weekend, 5 under 65, finished in 50th place. So not a great finish, but a good final round. But it was revealed afterwards, Mark, that he is playing with golf clubs that are not fitted for him. How on earth is that possible for a guy of his stature? I know he hadn't played for 11 or 12 years professionally, but still, anyone in the world, whether you're a 54 handicap or you're a plus 10, can go get fit easily. Clearly, the guy has the dough to do it. I mean, what?
It's bizarre. Do they not? I'm guessing they don't have tour vans out at LIV Golf events either, so I'm assuming they don't have access to the vans like the tour guys do. But what about, like, to your point, what about in between events? What about walking into a club champion? I mean, like, it's ridiculous. I think I know the problem, Adam. So he started off in Jeddah, right? Saudi Arabia. Then he went to Hong Kong, China, right? I mean, his next stop must be Moscow, Russia. And he's just going to keep playing in all these places around the world that we shouldn't be playing golf in. And then that's part of the problem. If he ever plays golf on U.S. soil or Canadian soil, maybe he'll have a chance to get some clubs fit.
I know they're coming to the U.S. very soon, so maybe we'll see AK in some clubs that actually fit him. Okay, my what this week goes to a must-follow on X or Twitter, as we most commonly refer to as. That's Michael Kim, who's had a couple of good finishes on the PGA Tour this season. He was a great Twitter follow. He loves giving an inside look at what goes on week in, week out. So I'm going to read this tweet. It's a little long, but I'm going to read it. It's pretty funny. Bay Hill story with my guy, Siwoo Kim. He makes bogey on 17 and is about to get really peed off, but this time says, you know what? I'm going to stay calm, finish with a good hole on 18. Heads to 18 tee, stripes his tee shot down the middle, twirl the club, watches the ball fall down, and all of a sudden, the ball takes the biggest bounce you can think of, which is weird since you can see the landing area from the tee. He landed on the Robert Gomez plaque in the middle of the fairway, went 330 yards, bounced into the water. He did not stay calm, and the yardage book went for a swim next to his ball. Now that is a story insane. I wish that was on TV.
Oh my God, how do we not have footage of this? That is crazy. Oh, Adam, that is insane. That plaque is literally the size of a keyboard on a laptop. I mean, like, it is not to hit that, like, the amount of bad luck you have to have. And by the way, I mean, is right, practically right in the center of the fairway too, right? I mean, you've hit a perfect tee shot and you get penalized for it. This is when the rules of golf are stupid. This is when someone needs to come in and go, okay, that's a free drop. You know, I mean, this is when people, Bob and I say it all the time. We say it on PGA Tour Live sometimes. It's like, okay, so for someone who doesn't play golf or someone who doesn't watch golf and they tune in and they see something like that, or they see some guy trying to take this painfully stupid drop where he's holding it around his knee after he's taken all these clubs, this is when golf makes no sense to non-golfers. They go, hold on, you hit it? You were supposed to hit it down the middle? You did? And now you get penalized for that? Yes. Okay, I'm out. I'll see you. I forget it. I'm out. Right? That's it. Unbelievable.
Well, you know what's crazy about that too, and I'll be quick before you wrap, go to break here, is in about 2006, I was playing in a junior inner club tournament at Rosedale Golf Club, and the exact same thing happened to whoever the guy I was playing with. The exact same thing happened into a water hazard. I believe it was the 1-2-3-7th hole at Rosedale, where there's a water hazard that comes in about three quarters of the way through the hole. Anyway, it's wild bounces happen in the world of golf. Great follow. Michael Kim is. Go check him out on Twitter. Okay, when we come back, we'll have leaderboard updates from around the world of golf and tee up when you can see us coming up this week on GTC.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cadillac's all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. Choose from a $750 credit with Flow or installation of a level 2 home charging capability from Qmerit when you purchase or lease a new Cadillac Lyric. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Adidas Golf. Looking to refresh your golf wardrobe this season? Adidas carries the latest golf styles and technology, built for on and off the course. We encourage you to express your style through every swing. Visit adidas.ca/golf to explore more.
Wrapping up GTC with some leaderboard updates. Leaderboard updates brought to you by Bushnell Golf, the number one range finder in the world of golf. Check out bushnellgolf.com for much more information. Blue Bay LPGA, Bailey Tardy, the winner there. Canadian Savannah Grual finishes T4. PGA Tour champions Joe Durant wins the Culligard Classic. PGA Tour, Arnold Palmer Invitational. Scottie Scheffler, a five-shot win. Mark, you have some news from our friends at Sandbagger, yes?
Well, I thought you might be interested in this, Adam, because this is like our summer cocktail of choice for golf. the transfusion, which I know you and I have been known to take down a few during a hot summer round. Well, the Sandbagger Transfusion is available across Ontario, and it was launched last year for, you know, golf courses, etc. Well, now available at the LCBO, Transfusions, Sandbagger Transfusions, and now available in Alberta, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and New Brunswick, BC and Yukon around the corner. So anyone listening to us outside the province of Ontario, pretty much available anywhere you go. So, you know, that might be trouble for you and I as we're traveling now that it's available to us everywhere, Adam. But good news for those transfusion fans out there.
That's funny you mentioned that, because I was in my local LCBO a week and a half ago, and I not only did I see the Sandbagger Transfusion, I purchased the Sandbagger Transfusion, and I consumed the Sandbagger Transfusion. And myself and my better half, we have both enjoyed them, and we think they're pretty tasty. So we'll put it that way. That wraps up for us, Mark. It's been another busy show. To give our listeners and viewers our update here on our schedule, 11 p.m. TSN 2 tomorrow night. Wednesday, 10 a.m., TSN and the TSN Radio Network, radio to TV and radio. 1 p.m., TSN 5, 5 p.m., TSN 2. Full preview of the Players' Championship. Mark, thanks for your time. We'll see you tomorrow night, okay, my friend?
Thanks, Gulls. Have a good one. Talk tomorrow, brother.
Okay, thank you. And thanks to everyone for joining us this morning. And remember, the first good decision for the golf course always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Adidas Golf. Looking to refresh your golf wardrobe this season? Adidas carries the latest golf styles and technology built for on and off the course. We encourage you to express your style through every swing. Visit adidas.ca/golf to explore more. Thank you for listening to GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit golftalkcanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television, weekly on the TSN Television Network.